In the beginning of the year, it's a good time to do a number of things. We talked about New Year's resolutions last week. We'll touch briefly on that again this morning. But if there's one thing we should be doing all the time, but particularly as we look forward to a year that's going to be so much better than last year, everybody say amen. Okay. But there's the only way to really guarantee that you're going to have a better year than you had last year is to seek God. So for the 5 weeks of January, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a five-week sermon on seeking God. And how does that actually work? How do I do that? And we'll talk about some techniques for doing that. Today we're going to talk about seeking God through obedience. You know, we come to God by obeying him. Very often we get into discussions about, and Kelly and I were talking about this morning, listening to one of the radio preachers, this idea of what does it mean to be good. And honestly, the only thing that defines goodness is what God defines as goodness, agreed? So if we understand that we need to be righteous, we need to be good in the way that God wants us to be good. And we need to know him by obeying him. The information is here. It's in the book. There's no mystery. There's no secret knowledge. It's such a simple statement. As Christians, as true followers of Jesus Christ, this isn't a hobby. This isn't like stamp collecting or fly fishing or building model airplanes. It's not something you do to fill in time. It's a way of life. It's a way of life that makes us different than the world around us. Did you ever wonder why people give Christians such a bad time? Because we're different than them. People don't like people who are different. But Christians are not supposed to be like that. But because we are different, the world has a problem with that. And it's a way of life that requires the development of regular spiritual habits. You see, God can be known. Can be known. He desires that we know him and experience him and fellowship with him. That's what he wants. This month, we'll be looking at the ways to seek God, but we have to seek and ask and look and knock. Does that sound familiar? If you go out to seek, find God, you got to look for him. But not half-heartedly, but with perseverance and dedication. And then and only then are we going to reap the reward of an intimate relationship with Christ. Do you want that? I mean, I do. But are you willing to pray to Christ to know God? Because it doesn't just come to you. So let's look at what his word says about the spiritual habit of obedience. And one of the things that he commands us to do is to pray. So when we go to the word of God, and I encourage you in your own Bible reading time, whatever you're doing, whatever you're reading, when you open up this book, before you start reading, pray. So let's do that together. Father God, we thank you for giving us your word so that we know what your commands are. Father, we know that you want us to be close to you. So we pray, Father, this very morning and the next few weeks that you'll open our hearts and our minds so that we would see the message and obey it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at two different sections. We'll start off with John chapter 14, beginning at the 15th verse. So John wrote, obviously, the Gospel of John, but he also wrote the smaller books, 1st and 2nd John, and then he wrote Revelation. So this is the longest living apostle who has a lifetime of experience behind him. So we need to be careful about paying attention to what he says. So we're in John chapter 14. We're beginning at verse 15. And it begins this way. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, actually, I could stop right there, do the whole sermon on one verse. But we're going to come back to that one. But let me say it again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. even the Spirit of Truth, whom even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you. And then he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live in, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Well, I'm going to read a little bit more, but let me stop and point out a couple of things. You won't find the concept of the Trinity on a certain page in the Bible. It doesn't work that way. You know, there isn't, where does it teach it in the Trinity in the Bible? But look here. In just these few verses, we have Jesus talking, who said he's going to send the Spirit of Truth, that's the Holy Spirit. But listen to how he refers to him. He refers to him, I will ask the Father, so we have God, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So we have the Father, we have the Holy Spirit, who is a person. He's referred to as him. He will send him. You know him, for he dwells within you. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit just in these verses. And he says, you know, I will not leave you as orphans. In that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me. But he's talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. In a little while, and the world will see me no more. That's his death and burial. But you will see me in the resurrection. And here's the promise buried in these verses. Because